It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 23rd day of February 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I even had some Prayer Meeting Wednesday stuff lined up, and then, well, life and events intervened to change the general thrust of the program. Yeah. Of course, every program at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 23rd day of the month subscribers. Thank you so very kindly. Our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow and Philip in Maryland and Stacy and David in San Diego, thank you so much for being partial sponsors. Like I said before, it's how we keep the program on the air, that and the a la carte contributors. And so the fundraising goal for this evening is $860. $860. Just trying to keep up and keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting up and running. So hopefully we'll knock some of that out today. Of course, getting started where we so often start, Angry Giraffe with a cross-examination. Giraffe starts off the day, I hope all had a lovely 2-22-22, Junior and I wishing Billable Rick a happy 2-22-22. Billable, our constant concert correspondent, responded, yes, happy 2-22-22 to you too. Jeffrey responded, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, then responded, bueno. Junior with a correction, no, Daddy, not bueno. The response to Billable's you too should have been bono. That is a quick little, that's a quick little kid of a giraffe, is what that is. We may have forgotten to mention yesterday on 2-22-22 that on 2-22-80, the United States hockey team beat the Russians at the Olympic Games in Lake Placid, New York. Jeffrey making an interesting observation.
Although it was wonderful that the United States beat the Russians in the Olympic Games, there was a downside to the victory. Ronald Reagan parlayed that victory by the U.S. hockey team as a cause celeb and manipulated that win over Russia to help rile up the right-wing radicals to foster a hatred of the paper tiger Russia. Reagan also projected Jimmy Carter as a weakling because of the hostages in Iran and inflation.
Junior's getting a little bit froggy. I don't think Russia was a paper tiger, but more like a tapering tiger than burgeoning bear.
Good
point, Junior.
Yeah, Reagan wanted to play the boogeyman card with Russia, Bruga, 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 when in reality Russia was really not going to bother us if we didn't bother them.
And Jeffrey's got some warm thoughts.
No, it's the Cold War of the Kennedy-Khrushchev days had gone cold.
Frankly, it looks like we're in a much more serious situation with Russia right now, especially if the Chinese get involved and back Russia.
Well, I just hope Ukraine can grab Russia by the Putin and put him back in his place.
Yeah, quite a strategy. It was on this day in 1945 at Iwo Jima that the iconic picture of the United States flag being raised by several soldiers was taken on Mount Suribachi.
Speaking of raising flags, it appears that the white flag has been raised in the Trump investigation in New York as two crucial prosecutors have resigned.
And we'll get to that. Junior speculating, Trump really is going to get away with all these crimes now, isn't he?
Well, you're right, Junior. This is not good. As a high-minded giraffe, I cannot help but believe that these prosecutors and their families are being threatened. Let's face it, it appears we are now living in a fully fascist nation.
As much as I hate to admit it, Jeffrey may just be right. We talked a little bit yesterday of the three murderous animals that who lynched Ahmaud Arbery, and they did so on this day exactly 2 years ago. May you rest in power, Ahmaud Arbery. Speaking of Georgia and young men killed by animalistic white crackers, many of you know that the Georgia 6th District Representative Lucy McBath lost her son to a white animal cracker in Florida about 10 years ago, and Lucy McBath decided to do something about it. She ran for office in an attempt to craft some good gun legislation to remove weapons from the streets. She won the Georgia 6th District, but now in 2022 she'll have to run in another district because the 6th District has been so badly gerrymandered that there's no way she can win in that district, considering now the 6th has added two Trump counties that'll make it impossible for her to be competitive. And that's how gerrymandering works. Junior with the analysis. Georgia, which was becoming a true blue state over the past two elections, is now being gerrymandered back to red, Robin. Red Robin. Good job, Junior. Little cowbell for you, because you're young and impressionable, and you're hanging out with a merciless punisher and your daddy. On this day in 1954, the first inoculation of school children against polio using the Salk vaccine began in Pittsburgh. Some 5,000 students were vaccinated. Jeffrey has some news from Africa.
Oh, guess what, all of you unvaccinated idiots. Just last week in Malawi, authorities declared a polio outbreak after a case was detected in a young child in the capital, Lilongwe, the first case of wild poliovirus in Africa in more than 5 years. So guess what, you anti-vax vermin? If you all continue to decide not to be vaccinated, polio may be coming to a venue near you. So, with all that being said on this prayer meeting Wednesday, to all you Christians who love your God, guns, and anti-vaccine gurus, why don't you take that weapon they killed Jesus with, you know, the cross, blow three bullet holes in it with your gun, hang it around your neck, and then take your unvaccinated, ignorant ass to church and kill a few more dumb bastards just like you with the virus.
And finally, Joey 2 the kangaroo with a final thought. Last year, on this day in Australia, the discovery of the oldest Australian rock art was made. It was a 17,300-year-old painting of a kangaroo in the Kimberley region of Western Australia. You know. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 2022, with Giraffe researching for some other cross-examiners to replace the New York Trump prosecutors. There's a $10 cross-examiner challenge on the table, and thank you very kindly to Ralphs. There's also a $25 challenge from Ralphs. If somebody comes up with 25 bucks, Ralphs will kick in 25 more. That would make a total of, and we've still got the challenge from last night, that would make a total of $90 that we could take off of the $860 we've got to raise. And it would be so great if we could. It really would. It gets pretty stressful this time of year. Taking a look at taking a look at where we might since Joey and Giraffe brought up the issue of some anti-vax maggots, maybe it's time to take a moment to bid a fond farewell, definitely a farewell, to a former Washington state trooper. Looking for the story now. I had it there a moment ago. This guy, a genuine maggot. There he is. There he is. We're talking about former Washington State Trooper Robert LaMay, 50 years old. He decided to take early retirement there after 20 years on the force with the Washington State Police, rather than take a vaccine to prevent a deadly virus. Anyway, he attained some significant celebrity, and he videoed himself giving his final radio call. And at the end, he tells Washington Governor Jay Inslee to kiss my ass. And of course, the video immediately went viral. And the next thing you know, Robert LaMay was quite the celebrity. And as the news story from the News Tribune of Tacoma, Washington puts it, he was soon appearing on numerous news outlets. Well, you probably know what that means. That's polite speak for he became a right-wing maggot freedom celebrity. Yeah, 73 other commissioned officers of the Washington State Patrol quit over the... Quit over the vaccine requirement. But only LaMay ascended to the heights of maggot stardom. Well, I mention all of this only to say that, let's check in with Jesse Lee Peterson on that. He did! Yeah. The guy who told Jay Inslee to kiss his ass for requiring a COVID vaccine is dead from COVID. He is one of 10,699 Washingtonians to die of this preventable disease. And his colleague, Trooper Eric Gunderson, died back in September after he got COVID. He was only 38 years old and unvaccinated. His family jumped out there. Gunderson's family did jump. They jumped out there and said, "Well, he would have gotten the shot." Back then, Gunderson's family said, "It's important for everyone to know he was not a part of any anti-vaccine or political movement." So, damn it, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You got to think the goddess of irony was watching when she saw an older West Virginia. Why do I keep doing that? An older Washington State trooper, unvaccinated, tell the governor of Washington to kiss his ass for making him get a vaccine. Yeah, you don't do that with the goddess of irony. It's not a good look, laying there in your coffin. His former boss, Chief State Patrol John Batiste, said, "Rob served honorably for over two decades, and we were disappointed to see him leave the agency this past October. His service to this state and agency will long be remembered and appreciated." And I will add editorially, his stupidity will be too. Now listen, there's no Schadenfreude here. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no laughter. That's Kyle, by the way. No, you don't know. He speaks English, in case you didn't hear. Robert LaMay will be remembered for what a moron he was. So that seems an appropriate starting place. I got a stack here. There's a lot of stuff in it, but I don't know. I hope everybody doesn't just tune away because I do this. Um, but we got one another one of those stories. You know what kind of story. Yep, the transes. Because this is deeply disturbing. I hope it will be as disturbing to everybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation as it is to me. Because you see, I mean, I've got the letter here. We'll go through the entirety of the letter. Somebody ought to. Hell, I'd be surprised if this shows up in anywhere in the for-profit media today or this evening. I don't know. Maybe it has. Be great if it did. But the bottom line is, per a letter from Greg Aspott, the governor of the state of Texas, it is now, and I'm not overstating anything, it is now open season on trans kids and their parents in the state of Texas. This is absolutely sickening to me. It's heartbreaking and it's infuriating. Like I said, we'll get into all the details of this. And ugly details they are. This is heartbreaking. Just a sec. Sorry about the dead air. No, Billable Rick, Robert LeMay is not related to the wild-eyed wackadoodle LeMay, Curtis. Robert LeMay is a La May. That's the feminine article in French, L-A, whereas Curtis LeMay is the masculine article, L-E-M-A-Y. Anyway, just the same, Billable Rick says, if so, I bet that Robert's granddaddy, Curtis, would have been proud of his grandson's anti-vax views and telling Governor Jay Inslee where he can stick his hand in, right, yeah? Apparently no relation, at least in terms of bloodlines, but certainly a spiritual relation. But what I was saying is that, Ken Paxton, the indicted, accused felon attorney general of the state of Texas, authored a letter. And one of the, it's just kind of how government works. You remember how we've talked about the Office of Legal Counsel opinion that said, you know, back in the 70s, that a president who commits crimes cannot be prosecuted while in office, and we've had lengthy discussions about that. I mean, that's certainly anti-democratic and arguably in violation of the Constitution. But the thing is, it's never been overturned. And so, being an attorney general opinion with regard to the DOJ, it has the force of law. Even though it's never been passed through either of the houses of Congress, has not been signed into law by a president, an attorney general's opinion has the force of law. And so when a state attorney general issues an opinion, that too, unfortunately, has the force of law. And so it leaves the state at the mercy of an attorney general, especially if that attorney general is a bad one. Well, when it comes to bad attorney generals, there's none worse in this country. Well, I mean, maybe pill-pushing Patty Morrissey down in Charleston, West Virginia would give Ken Paxton a run for it, but at least he hasn't been indicted yet. Ken Paxton authored a letter, and by authored a letter, I mean it is a statement of the official policy of the Attorney General's office of the state of Texas. He sent it on February the 18th, 5 days ago. It's opinion number KP0401. It's directed to the Honorable Matt Krause, Chair, House Committee on General Investigating, Texas House of Representatives, P.O. Box 2910, Austin, Texas, 78768-2910. Whether certain medical procedures performed on children constitute child abuse. Dear Representative Krause, you ask whether the performance of certain medical and chemical procedures on children, several of which have the effect of sterilization, constitute child abuse. You specifically ask about procedures falling under the broader category of gender reassignment surgeries. Request letter at 1. You state that such procedures typically are performed to transition individuals with gender dysphoria to their desired gender, and you identify the following specific sex change procedures. 1. Sterilization through castration, vasectomy, hysterectomy, oophorectomy, metioidoplasty, orchiectomy, penectomy, phalloplasty, and vaginoplasty. 2. Mastectomies. 3. Removing from children otherwise healthy or non-diseased body part or tissue. And then there's footnotes and shit. And then the indicted felon attorney general of Texas, Ken Paxton, says in the executive summary, these procedures and treatments can cause mental or emotional injury to a child that results in an observable and material impairment in the child's growth, development, or psychological functioning. These procedures and treatments can cause or permit the child to be in a situation in which the child sustains a mental or emotional injury that results in an observable and material impairment to the child's growth, development, or psychological functioning. These procedures and treatments can cause a physical injury that results in substantial harm to the child. These procedures and treatments often involve a failure to make a reasonable effort to prevent an action by another person that results in physical injury that results in substantial harm to the child, particularly by parents, counselors, and physicians. Well, isn't it ironic, or at least coincidental, that just yesterday we spent entirely too much time going over the 11-point plan of Rick Skeletor Scott in Florida that includes a determination that, you know, trans people don't exist. We aren't real. If we are real, then we need to, like, die or be erased, or at least jammed forcibly back into some godforsaken closet. Well, the basis, what it boils down to in the end, he says, and this is, of course, a lie by the indicted, accused felon attorney general of the state of Texas, Ken Paxton. The medical evidence does not demonstrate that children and adolescents benefit from engaging these irreversible sterilization procedures. The prevalence of gender dysphoria in children and adolescents has never been estimated, and there is no scientific consensus that these sterilizing procedures and treatments even serve to benefit minor children dealing with gender dysphoria. I'm surprised they even acknowledge that gender dysphoria is remotely real. Well, they kind of do, because, you know, they say that it's never been documented. Or even estimated. There is not enough high-quality evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improves health outcomes for Medicare beneficiaries with gender dysphoria and whether patients most likely to benefit from these types of surgical intervention can be identified prospectively. Also, several studies show a higher rate of regret at being sterilized among younger women than among those who were sterilized at a later age. This further indicates that minor children are not sufficiently mature to make informed decisions on this context. So, blah, 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 bullshit, 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 bullshit.
And then we get the letter from Greg Asbot, directed to the commissioner of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, and this is where it gets dangerous. Because he has declared open season on trans kids, their parents, their therapists, and their medical providers.
Dear Commissioner Masters, consistent with our correspondence in August 2021, the Office of the Attorney General has now confirmed in the enclosed opinion, which we already went through, the number of so-called sex change procedures constitute child abuse under existing Texas law. Because the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services is responsible for protecting children from abuse, unless it's by white Christian parents, and wealthy ones at that, then we look the other way, I hereby direct your agency to conduct a prompt and thorough investigation of any reported instances of these abusive procedures in the state of Texas.
Okay, so we gotta deal with this right quick. Yeah, I know. John in Central PA says, you know, this would sound better in the original German. Yeah. Because remember, the trans people were on the list, too, in Nazi Germany. The proscription list, the death camp list, the gas chamber list. Well, he says, now let's deal with this real quick. There's nobody out there. There are no physicians out there who are recommending any of the things on that list. Castration, vasectomy, oophorectomy. That are being done on children. Now, in the adult population, sometimes doctors will recommend for a trans woman an orchiectomy, the removal of the testes, as a precursor to full-on gender confirmation surgery. For trans guys, an oophorectomy, the removal of the ovaries and the uterus, is a dysphoria treatment, as is top surgery, that is the removal of the breasts. But again, these are procedures that are done either with informed consent, otherwise known as done in a gatekeeping fashion if it's covered by insurance, and it seldom is. Some of it is. But the insurance companies always say that it has to be done within the standards promulgated by an organization called WPATH, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. I'm sorry if I'm being boring here. This just kind of matters to me because they're fucking hunting children in Texas now, as you will hear. There are no 11-year-olds getting oophorectomies or orchiectomies or gender confirmation surgeries. It just isn't done. There will not be one case in the state of Texas about this, but don't anybody tell the godforsaken, good God, fear, and upstanding Bible, believe in Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians, because, well, facts don't matter. And so, he declares, Greg Asbot does, as OAG opinion number KP0401 makes clear, it is already against the law to subject Texas children to a wide variety of elective procedures for gender transitioning, including reassignment surgeries that can cause sterilization, mastectomies, removals of otherwise healthy body parts, and administration of puberty-blocking drugs or supraphysiologic doses of testosterone or estrogen. Well, again, little trans kids aren't getting estrogen. Little trans kids aren't getting testosterone. That's just a fact. It's so rare as to be nearly non-existent. But you'll notice they include the puberty blocking drugs. That is the real goal here. Because, say, when a little trans kid approaches puberty,
the way you treat gender dysphoria is to put them on these puberty blockers, which again were originally developed primarily in the male to female trans community. They were developed for cisgendered men with prostate troubles. Okay, but if you give them to a child, it just pauses puberty. You take them off and whoop, here comes puberty. Nothing permanent. Texas law imposes reporting requirements upon all licensed professionals who have direct contact with children who may be subject to such abuse, including doctors, nurses, and teachers, and provides criminal penalties for failure to report such child abuse. There are similar reporting requirements and criminal penalties for members of the general public. Texas law also imposes a duty on DFPS, the Department of Family and Protective Services, to investigate the parents. This is where it gets important. This is where the hunting of trans children and their parents and their providers comes in. Texas law also imposes a duty on DFPS to investigate the parents of a child who is subjected to these abusive gender transitioning procedures, and on other state agencies to investigate licensed facilities where such procedures may occur. To protect Texas children from abuse, DFPS and all other state agencies must follow the law as explained in OAG opinion number KP0401. And then there's a bunch of CCs to the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, the Board of Educator Certification, the Texas Education Association, the Texas Behavioral Health Executive Council, the State Board of Pharmacy, the Texas Board of Nursing, the Texas Medical Board, the Health and Human Resources Commission. Now, how long do you think it'll be before good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican in Texas decides to write a bill putting a bounty on anyone who provides puberty blockers, because that's the only thing there is in this bill that actually participates in reality, puberty blockers. How long until we get another bounty law on them? I know. Megan writes in and says, Jesus! Between this and the draconian abortion law, I'm surprised Aspot didn't just declare Texas a separate Republic of Gilead. I thought all non-medically required surgeries like plastic surgery were against the law for minors anyhow. Don't get me wrong, trans kids need medical access to help with the gender dysphoria, but I mean that in the best sense of the term. But not so long as these dumb fucks are making laws that only serve to prolong the dictates of the patriarchy. Hear, hear, crush the patriarchy. But the problem is deeper than that. What Greg Aspot means to do is to erase the transness of children in Texas. And, of course, other states, other Confederate states among them will follow suit. The maggot states, other, and they already have, will follow suit. Okay, time out. I got to deal with Kyle. Hang on. Kyle sits there and yells, I want out, I want out, I want out. Now, I want out, now. But it's nasty outside and it's cold. Granted, it's 65 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. But it's cold and drizzly and misty and wet and nasty. And, you know, even if he got to go out, he'd be standing at the door saying, come on. I mean, we've learned to speak kitty cat with Kyle. Sorry. But no, here's where it gets dangerous. There's a reporting requirement there. And parents are going to be charged with child abuse for having trans children. See, up till the onset of puberty, and, you know, this is why, for instance, like, soccer for 6- and 7-year-olds is co-ed. Assigned male at birth children and assigned female at birth children are largely the same. But if a child starts identifying as a boy early on, and they do, or a child starts identifying as a little girl early on, and they do, and they begin presenting in their perceived gender identity, Greg Aspott here says that it's okay to take those children away for Department of Family Protective Services to move in, take those children away from their loving parents who accept their children, love their children as they are, and for all I know, put them in some sort of godforsaken Christian foster home where, you know, where they can have the trans beaten out of them. I mean, this is heartbreaking to the point of tears. Because there have been hearings in the Texas Ledge about this in which parents have made clear that they love their children and they're going to let them be themselves, which is what all children should be allowed to be. But all of this hatred is so thoroughly embedded in patriarchal, neo-Calvinist, evangelical garbage that the rights of those children and the rights of those parents count for nothing. I don't know what I would do if I was the parent of a trans child in Texas right now. Honey, call the realtor. Let's see if we can sell this place and move to civilization. Most people don't want to move. Most people, for one reason or another, are happy precisely where they are. But then again, you got a lot of people fleeing, say, parts of some 60,000 people have fled Donetsk and Luhansk in the Ukraine into Mother Russia. Others have fled in the opposite direction into Ukraine. They didn't want to go either, but their lives were at risk from an invasion by a foreign power. Here, however, the risk is from the government that is supposed to represent these parents and children. And see, chemically, understand there will be no puberty blockers, even if one can get them. There will be no puberty blockers until the onset of puberty. Which means that not only is the state of Texas, in its infinite sadism, trying to block that, they are simply trying to make trans kids who are pre any of that not exist. Not exist. Jesus. I mean, this terrifies me. There's a hashtag out there, Protect Trans Kids. Use it, please, if you tweet. The Family and Protective Services Department in Texas is to begin investigating immediately all trans children. Imagine being a child and being under investigation with all the full force and power of a government the size of Texas. The parents will be investigated as child abusers. Every teacher, doctor, and caregiver is going to be legally required to rat out any trans children. Honestly, maybe we'll talk about this in a little bit. How do you deal with that? It was last month. I had the mama of a trans child in Virginia on the program. And she talked about what a horror it is to see the Commonwealth of Virginia going backwards. Because her child is in a safe and accepted space in public school. This isn't even that. This is a full-on assault, an absolute attack, you know, by the people who claim to be pro-life on the lives of trans children. And there is a bounty aspect in the letter, because the reporting requirements for teachers and physicians, etc., well, there are similar requirements for the general public. They haven't gotten around to the $10,000 bounty yet. But everyday Texans can be required to rat out a little trans girl or a little trans boy. Once again, the cruelty is the point. It's not a flaw, it's a feature. And I just wonder, I wonder how many of us will do something, anything, to speak out against this. The ACLU will, I'm sure, litigate this issue. But it takes us. And if somehow it finds its way to Washington, D.C., well, you can guess. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I think. That's Texas, isn't it? Yeah, Greg Asbot will win there. And then if it goes to the... Oh, my God, I can't even think about it. I'm sick with fear. Who are these children? You know, one of the funny things about me running for office is that we have a new design for the legislature of the state of West Virginia. There are 100 single-member districts in the state now. That means that the state House of Delegates will be comprised of 100 members. And, of course, there are no trans people whatsoever in the House of Delegates now. So that means if I were to be, if a miracle were to happen and I were to actually be elected, I would literally be 1% of the West Virginia State Legislature. The West Virginia House of Delegates, that is. I would be 1%. The other 1%. Which is kind of ironically curious because... roughly 1% of the population of planet Earth, the human population of planet Earth, is trans. So it's not like Texas is awash in transness, no matter how much barking and grunting and braying and hooting these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans claim. It's just not true. But whatever that 1% of trans kids is, roughly 40% of them have probably contemplated or attempted suicide. I know you've heard me say that before. I'm going to keep saying it until it's what we think every time we talk about attacks on trans kids. And make no mistake, these are attacks. They're not saving the child. And the bullshit about regret, let me promise you, there just aren't a lot of people out there who have transitioned and regret it. If there's any regret, it's regret for not having transitioned sooner. In civilized states, I'm so happy that children can go through their lives in their correct gender instead of being forced into a godforsaken closet and only able to transition when they're 57, 58, 59. Every day sooner that a trans person can transition to their preferred gender, their perceived gender, is an extra day they get to actually live. Part of the reason I talk so much about this anymore.
Why are you going to talk about all the trans shit all the time, Bob?
Yeah. Is to try to normalize it and try to make it real and try to make it immediate so that there can be a future where 40% of trans kids don't think maybe that they'd just be better off dead. Because they're not better off and we are not better off without them. Megan says, I don't know if this helps, but if case law is anything to go by, there was an incident in the state of Virginia that resulted in something called Cherix Law. Cherix Law. C-H-E-R-R-I-X. As far as I remember, there was a teenager named Abraham Cherix who came down with a form of cancer. With his parents' blessing, he was exploring an alternative form of health treatment, which was actually chemo, followed up by a vitamin cocktail, because chemo strips your body of everything. The state deemed his parents as unfit, made Abraham a ward of the state, and demanded he go through the regular form of chemo. They fought it in court, and the result of that was Cherix Law, which made it legal for medical patients aged 14 to 17 the right to refuse medical treatment. I know trans kids' situations are different, but could this be tweaked to protect trans kids' rights? Well, you're going to have to find out first and foremost whether or not, like I said, you've got to sort it out. There's nobody out there doing castration on, 12-year-old assigned male at birth kids. Simply not happening. It's the puberty blockers we're talking about, but Megan, even more to the point, it's what you do about the prepubescent trans kids. I mean, do you just give them a beating and tell them to put their goddamned overalls back on and get out there and do some boy shit? Is that it? There's an absolutely kind of adorable little scene in the 1962 film To Kill a Mockingbird, where Scout Jean Louise Finch has to put on a dress to go to school, and it she might as well have been putting on snakes. She hated it. She was a little roustabout girl. Out there, rough and tumbling with her brother and her neighbor, the neighborhood kids. And the idea of having to girly up was absolutely repulsive to her. Now, this has nothing to do with gender. It's just how a little girl... But what do you do with a little trans boy? Mommy, I don't want to wear a dress. Well, God damn it, the governor of the state of Texas says you got to. Or we'll get turned in and they'll come and take you away from us, honey. Yeah, you're right. Matt in San Francisco says, these laws will result in even more trans kids committing suicide, which is tragic, and it's additionally tragic that the authors of these bills are probably all right with that result. These people need to be stopped. And the question, of course, then becomes, Matt, how? How? Because one of the biggest problems with all of this is just even getting coverage, even getting traction, getting someone, anyone, to give a good goddamn about these stories. I saw this via the Tennessee Holler on Twitter. Annette sent it to me from, let me look. Sent it to me from Reardon Ledgerwood, M.D., who will be, I guess he's a resident, and he's trans-masculine, trans guy, trans dude, And he said, I feel positively sick to my stomach. But the thing is, these are coming from individuals or relatively unheard outlets. Let me know if you see this on any of the mainstream news programs on MSNBC or CNN or anything like that. Let me know especially if they actually cover this in a fair fashion without both-sidering to the people who are anti-science and sit there and bark and grunt and hoot about there's only two genders. I'd just about be willing to bet you won't find that. Randy Radar says, it seems that the politicians are practicing medicine without a license again. Remember the woman in a vegetative state in Florida wherein the white-wing Congress fucked it all up? Yeah, Terry Schiavo, in which the then Speaker or the then Senate Majority Leader from Tennessee, Bill Cat Killer Frist, I don't want to go into why we call him that, but it's based on real events. Oh, sure. He used to, when he was a medical student, he would go and adopt cats from the shelter and kill them and dissect them. Really. But, yeah, he remote diagnosed, I guess it's kind of like remote viewing psychic stuff, brain activity in Terry Schiavo. They are practicing medicine without a license, Randy. You're absolutely right. Christopher in Oregon says, truly terrifying. So by Asbot's logic, why shouldn't teaching kids that there is a sky spook looking down on them every moment who ultimately decides whether or not you will burn for eternity be considered fucking child abuse? Well, because that's faith. And faith is protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the new United States of America, and it only applies to Judeo-Christian values. Because I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. So I'm disinclined to apologize for bringing this to your attention. I know I talk about it a lot anymore, but you know why? Not because of me. I mean, every now and then I'll talk a little bit about my transition, about what I've gone through, because like I said, people are interested. But I talk about these because these are the electoral issues of 2022. Hell, it's a big part of why I'm running for office. I feel like if they're going to talk trash on people like me, they should have to look at people like me when they're talking their trash. Somebody who is a member of their body that they can't run out. That's me. So that's that story. Oh, by the way, Billable Rick says, tours of the Horn Studio. You heard all the racket there. I heard that you'll be offering tours of the Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion during the Horn Inn. Is there any truth to that rumor? What are you charging for tours? I'd love to meet your kitties, Kyle, and your demonically named Good Luck Black Cat. No, there will be no tours. There's not enough room to fit everybody in here. It's tiny space. It's very cluttered. 20 years of Robin's Home for Wayward Hardware, all just sort of piled up around me. So that's a vile and vicious rumor, and please ask whoever is spreading that to stop. Oh, thank you, Billable. Thank you. But that's not all there is out there today. I'm getting positively sick at my stomach over the developments that we saw in the investigation of Nitwit Nero by the Manhattan District Attorney today. You know, we had the question a couple of days ago from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, who said, holy fucking shit, he's a made man, I'm telling you. And what this refers to is the fact that the two lead prosecutors in the Trump fraud investigation in Manhattan have quit. And they quit because the DA who replaced Cy Vance said he would continue the investigation, but has now indicated that they're not interested in going after Nitwit Nero or his gits. Joy noting, I'm fucking frightened now, down to my marrow. This and all the pro-Russia shit from Trump and the Pompeo et al. Yeah, by the way, Mike Pompeo, he graduated first in his class at West Point. It just cracks me up every time. He was out there saying that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy was savvy and that he was smart and strategic. Yeah. Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, he knows exactly where to keep his nose parked. And even today on my Filthy Morning Habit, I think it was General Barry McCaffrey, who said, my fellow West Point classmate, referring to Pompeo, and I immediately, my little mind said, graduated first in his class at West Point. Sure. Doesn't say a lot for West Point, does it? But Joy says, the invasion and the bloodbath that's coming, and anyone who thinks Putin's going to stop with Ukraine is fooling herself. Christ Jesus, I'm actually shivering. And for good reason. You know, because the other thing that got mentioned on my Filthy Morning Habit today was that phrase. Because if we go in and start shooting, World War III starts. And then there goes the neighborhood. Now, what happens when you've got barbarians at the gates is that once word gets around that you'll just let people do stuff, other governments start doing stuff. One of our longest-standing friends and dearest friends is our pal Horst in Taiwan. And I gotta wonder if Horst is a little bit, you know, nervous. Because if Pootie gets away with this, then China can just sail right across the South China Sea and overrun Taiwan. It's a hell of a time. But meanwhile, back here at home, Kerry R. Dunn and Mark F. Pomerantz have submitted their resignation to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and they did so because Alvin Bragg had, in the words of the New York Times, indicated to them that he had doubts about moving forward with a case against Mr. Trump. Have you picked up a case of the shiver? Have you picked up the case of the shivers that Joy in Ann Arbor has yet? So the New York Times reports, without Mr. Bragg's commitment to move forward, the prosecutors late last month postponed a plan to question at least one witness before the grand jury. One of the people with knowledge said, "They've not questioned any witnesses in front of the grand jury for more than a month, essentially pausing their investigation into whether Mr. Trump inflated the value of his assets to obtain favorable loan terms from banks." And then this. The precise reasons for Mr. Bragg's pullback are unknown, and he has made few public statements about the status of the inquiry since taking office. And all Mr. Bragg would say about the resignations of Mr. Pomerantz and Ms. Dunn were that he was grateful for their service and the investigation's ongoing. There's only one problem, though. Grand juries exist for a single term. They can ask the grand jury to extend their jury service, but most grand juries don't want to hear that, and most grand juries are hesitant at best, and prosecutors are hesitant to make that request. So if they let this grand jury go in April, that means that a new grand jury would have to be impaneled, and that's a problem too, because then you can get conflicting testimony between witnesses to two grand juries, and that makes a prosecution, and in fact a conviction, much more difficult. This prosecutor was convened last fall, and Cyrus Vance Jr. didn't seek re-election. And so this guy comes in, Alvin Bragg, and everybody looking at this case right now is asking themselves, how did this happen? And it's kind of unusual to get someone who is brought on air as a legal expert to say something this like this out loud, but it's well, it's kind of worth it to go to the audio from Nicole Wallace today on MSNBC and their legal analyst Daniel Goldman, who has experience as a former federal prosecutor. And this is the guy who was lead counsel during the first impeachment trial in the Senate of the United States. I would say that it's probably fair and safe to say that he's not known for his wild-eyed conspiracy theories, and yet you get this.
And what do you make of this?
Well, let's take a step back for a second. This was always going to be a very difficult case to prove on the criminal front, right? You need direct knowledge of wrongdoing to show that Donald Trump or someone else made material misrepresentations about their financial documents that were relied on by banks, insurance companies, or tax entities. And the problem in getting to Donald Trump has always been that he doesn't email or text. So you basically need a cooperating witness. And Alan Weisselberg wasn't cooperating. They took a run at him, and he said no. And notwithstanding everything that he has said on Twitter and elsewhere, Michael Cohen is pretty much an unusable witness because he would be subject to such withering cross-examination that his credibility would be so undermined. So we don't know of any potential witness against Donald Trump. So, and that makes this case very difficult. That all being said, there is something rotten when the two lead prosecutors, both of whom are extremely experienced, seasoned prosecutors and lawyers.
Let's hear that again.
And that makes this case very difficult. That all being said, there is something rotten when the two lead prosecutors, both of whom are extremely experienced, seasoned prosecutors and lawyers, publicly resign, reportedly, because of disagreements with the DA. And to me, the only conclusion I can reach without knowing any more, and we don't know what the evidence is, but to me, it reeks of Carrie Dunn and Mark Pomerantz thinking that there is a case here, and Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, deciding that there is not, because I can't figure out why else they would resign in this public way. Certainly, if they agreed there wasn't a case, they wouldn't need to resign. And if they were all in agreement that they should be charged, and they wouldn't resign. So clearly there is serious disagreement, and a public resignation by prosecutors is a very, very unusual event.
So, Alvin Bragg, who got to him? Like I said, this is straight out of the, 1987 film, The Untouchables? You know, Robert De Niro, Sean Connery, Kevin Costner. Where Capone could always get to the jury to avoid a conviction. This stinks. And you know how loath I am to engage in conspiracy theory. I despise it. But this stinks on wheels. But the thing is, it's not that surprising, is it? You remember a long time back, there was an investigation of what was then called Trump Soho. It was an absolute disaster of a development that they had to walk away from. But the problem was there had been a bunch of lies told about how much buy-in the Nitwit Nero family had and what was said in terms of trying to con people into participating. It was, in fact, according to Michael Cohen, it was that investigation, or during that investigation, that Nitwit Nero looked at him, who was back then his consigliere, and said,
"If anybody has to go to prison, make sure it's Don Jr. Precious Princess Iwankamadaddy would never be able to withstand prison. Don can do it."
Because they were terrified. And then, miraculously, a big old whopping contribution. I mean, this is in the record. You can find it. I'm not just telling you a story. A big old whopping contribution was made to the district attorney's campaign, and the investigation dried up drier than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. And it all just went away. So is it time to look at the campaign coffers of Alvin Bragg? Is it time to see if maybe he's had a conversation with any other elected official in the state, in the city of New York? You know what Daniel Goldman says, and like I said, dude was hired to run the first Trump case, and we know how well that was presented. It was very well done. I don't think they would do this if there was not good cause, and they clearly think something is amiss. So they've actually quit because of what appears to be a decision made by Alvin Bragg. They've had the kibosh put on them for over a month. And we find ourselves once again pondering that line from Hamlet. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark. This is some chilling, mobby-feeling shit. I mean, if he is a made man with the Russian mob, do you suppose, Vlad Putti could get to the district attorney of Manhattan? I'm sure Vlad would never do something as skeevy as like a horse's head in somebody's bed. But I don't know, maybe if an umbrella with a tip on it that rang like an alarm clock. When you put a Geiger counter next to it, maybe if one of those was left next to his house. All I can do is what Daniel Goldman did and say something stinks. Of course, Ralphs, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening, just sent me a Reuters story from back in June of 2021. Headline, "Big Law Leaders Back Alvin Bragg in Manhattan DA Race." Several big law leaders, including Aiken Gump and Paul Weiss, chairs are among his donors. Kim Coopersmith, chair of Aiken, Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld, gave $2,500 to Alvin Bragg. Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Horton, and Garrison chair Brad Karp donated $1,000. Crowell Mooring chair Philip Inglema gave $500 last June. That last firm name always sticks out like a sore thumb. It was Crowell Mooring, who was the counsel for the National Mining Association, who once tried to discredit the study on birth defects near mountaintop removal sites in Appalachia by saying that the studies were invalid because they failed to take into account Appalachian consanguinity. They misspelled consanguinity, this highfalutin firm did. Basically, they said, of course birth defects happen in Appalachia because hillbillies can't stop fucking their siblings. Kramer, Levin, Naftalis, and Frankel, the litigation co-chair there, Barry Burke, gave to Alvin Bragg. And a spokesman for Bragg said, he has the most stringent self-restrictions on lawyers' contributions of any candidate in the race. Alvin Bragg went to Harvard Law. He was the only black candidate in the race. He was raised in Harlem. He actually had been subjected to profiling, and back in 1989, police mistook him for a drug dealer, put a gun to his head. He said, that's why I went to law school. I don't know, maybe the memory of that gun to his head had something to do with it. Matt in San Francisco says, I don't mean to be a wet blanket, but as a country, we don't have a great track record for holding presidents accountable. No, we don't. We let war criminals off to enjoy their life at home doing oil paintings. Do we really expect 45 to be held to account when arguably for the last 75 years he's stomped all over laws with no regret, regard, or care? With all that's going on globally, it might be time to learn how to speak Chinese. Ni hao. Thanks, Matt. You're not being a wet blanket, you're being a realist. Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx with a little bit of background for us. And listen, anybody in the greater New York area, if you follow New York City politics and you can give me a little help here, I'd appreciate it. I don't like feeling like a DA's been chased off of a case by the mob. But the most famous Manhattan DA, Angelo writes, was Frank Hogan. Served for more than 30 years. He was the predecessor of Robert Morgenthau. He was assistant to Thomas Dewey, who was the Manhattan DA before him. Between the two, they prosecuted all sorts of criminals, including mafia figures like Louis Lepke Buchalter, who Dewey sent to the electric chair in 1944. Between the two of them, they stared down figures like Dutch Schultz, Joe Adonis, and even prosecuted the Manhattan borough president, Hulan Jack. This office even notoriously prosecuted Lenny Bruce for obscenity. Now the first African-American DA in the county's history can't get this two-bit guy. I'm sickened. He's the first African-American DA. But I guess, Angelo, you tell me, is it wrong to impose some sort of expectation on him because of that? He obviously can't. He campaigned on the fact that a cop put a gun to his head. And that helped him decide that he wanted to be a lawyer. Help me make sense of this. This bothers the hell out of me. This is worrisome. This creeps me out. And the fact that all he'll say is, I appreciate your service. I mean, as of yesterday, I was prepared to engage in a little bit of schadenfreude because, among other things, there was news out of the Supreme Court yesterday as SCOTUS, mirabile dictu, told Nitwit Nero to go pound sand and that his attempt to keep January 6th documents out of the hands of the January 6th committee was a loser. He'd appealed the D.C. Circuit because the D.C. Circuit said, get the fuck out of here, in his claim that he had a right to keep the House committee from seeing the documents. The D.C. Circuit said there was no basis to override the decision of President Joe Biden not to claim executive privilege. I mean, it's a privilege for the executive, not the courts. And so the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruling remains in place. Again, a matter of him losing and losing and losing and losing. But then this comes along, and all of a sudden, damn it. It just feels dirty. Of course, the Manhattan DA works in state court. The DC Circuit decision is an animal of an entirely different type. And it speaks to the January 6th Commission. But the January 6th Commission, the problem therein is that it cannot bring any indictments. In the last week or so, I guess it was on the Sunday shows this past, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois said they expect to start holding public hearings in the spring or early summer, and that gave me the fantods. Because it all goes away if the House gets turned over to the Republicans. And if you were listening to Joey's Journal earlier, you heard how Lucy McBath had been gerrymandered so as to try to keep her from being able to keep her seat. I try to maintain something resembling optimism. But this crap makes it really difficult. And the funny thing is, it runs parallel to what happened we talked about last week with New York Attorney General Letitia James, who is looking at some similar conduct. Could that be it? That maybe the Manhattan DA has decided that there's no sense in overlapping evidence, or that the bullshit claims made by Trump that Letitia James should be barred from investigating because of the ongoing criminal claim. Is that it? He's trying to protect the civil investigation by the Attorney General? I don't know. But it does. It just makes my liver quiver. And it feels so damned dirty. Oh, and speaking of dirty, let's talk about Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas and his sketchy spouse, Jenny. The New York Times dropped a house on Clarence and Jen's, publishing a story in the last couple of days about all the curious connections between Jenny Thomas and the January 6th coup against constitutional governance in the United States of America. If you look on social media, you'll see people saying, "Well, there should be an investigation." Guess what? Nobody can investigate Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas. But one of the things that the New York Times article did point out is that Jenny got access to the Nitwit Nero administration through her hubby. I mean, Jenny Thomas has been an attack dog. She, at one point in time, she told Anita Hill, whom credible allegations exist, was sexually assaulted, or at least sexually abused, or sexual misconduct, sexually harassed by Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas. She demanded that Anita Hill apologize. Narrator, Anita Hill did not apologize. But she's a star in Maggot World now. And she was central to the movement to keep Nitwit Nero in office despite the outcome of the 2020 election. And remember, judges are supposed to, even Supreme Court justices, are supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety. Not actual impropriety, they're supposed to avoid that too, but the appearance of impropriety. And Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas is nothing if not a walking, talking, breathing appearance of impropriety. It's sometimes referred to as the Caesar's wife standard from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Caesar's wife must be above reproach. Well, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas is not Caesar, and Jenny Thomas damn sure ain't Calpurnia. Because, among other things, she ran off to Facebook to bray about the election. New York Times noting it was the spectacle of a Supreme Court justice's spouse taking to Facebook to champion the attempt of a defeated president to stay in power. She did that on the morning of January 6th. And nobody can investigate. There is no body to enforce ethical requirements upon any member of the Supreme Court of the United States. None. Zero. He could be impeached. He should have been impeached long ago, but no, that's not either. That's not going to happen either. I guess Jenny Thomas could be investigated within the scope of the January 6th committee, but again, they have no power to impose any sort of criminal penalty. Baby, the fix sure feels like it's in. It stinks. By the way, while we watch all of these other legal matters unfold, there's a trial taking place in Louisville, Kentucky. Only one person has ever been charged in the death of Breonna Taylor. A bad, bad, bad cop named Brett Hankinson is on trial right now. But remember, he's not even on trial for killing Breonna Taylor, blowing her away in her sleep. He's on trial for three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment of her neighbors. The neighbors, Cody Etherton, his pregnant partner Chelsea Napper, and their five-year-old son. Because his bullets went through the wall and into their apartment. Brett Hankinson has, in fact, been fired from the Louisville PD. That's a far cry from facing criminal punishment for blowing her away in her sleep. We're not that far, just as today is the second anniversary of the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery. We are 18 days away from the second anniversary of the cop lynching of Breonna Taylor. She was sound asleep. Every picture, every story of the Breonna Taylor case seems to contain that photograph of her beautiful, smiling face holding a certificate suitable for framing.
before the seal of Louisville with a flag, an American flag on one side, and the Kentucky flag and the Louisville flag on the other. She's smiling so beautifully in her EMT uniform, and she holds a bouquet of a dozen assorted roses from the private selection label at Kroger's. And so, Cody Etherton has taken the stand, and he said that the gunshots that came from Brett Hankinson's gun were inches away from hitting me. Literally, like one or two more inches, and I would have been shot. I think about it all the time. I would never have even gotten to meet my son, who has since been born. He went on to say, yeah, the whole thing was chaotic. From the time that I got woke up to a loud boom, gunfire coming through my wall and nearly killing me, could have struck my girlfriend. It was chaos. Jesus. And again, no one has yet been charged or may ever be charged for slaughtering Breonna Taylor in her sleep. Because, you know, sometimes cops just have to murder innocent people to keep the peace, right? Yeah. Subject line, 60 Minutes. Steve from Georgistan writes in, I hope my tinfoil hat isn't too tight, and there may or may not be a connection, but that stated, concerning the New York City prosecutors unexpectedly skedaddling, they've scomped off. 60 Minutes did an expose last Sunday about a creepy microwave weapon that originated out of Cuba. It has already infiltrated Washington, D.C. It targets isolated individuals and causes disability and chronic illness. All you hear is a chirping sound, and it's downhill from there. That adds a layer to it. Thank you, Steve. Angelo says, New York State for 63 years had capital punishment. We've executed 697 people, including three federal prisoners, one New York Police Department captain, and one Catholic priest. Even as difficult as proving the case might be, no DA worth his salt would allow this to happen. New York prosecutors are notorious for their hardball tactics and hard line, even with flimsy evidence. I've sat on juries, Angelo says, where I've scratched my head on what they've presented in court. The reason behind Vance leaving was because he let Epstein go in an earlier case. Every candidate for the office ran on being tougher on crime, including this one. So now, with a case that would basically fast-track someone to the governor's mansion in Albany, he decides to back off. Somewhere, Andrew Cuomo is scratching his head and wondering why he resigned. Everything Angelo says is true, and it doesn't make me feel any better. It makes me feel worse. Breaking news, Breonna Taylor is still dead. Amir Locke is still dead. Eric Garner is still dead. Trayvon Martin is still dead. Tamir Rice is still dead. George Floyd is still dead. And on and on and on. And, of course, the no-knock warrant that resulted in the murder of Breonna Taylor was signed by a judge, oath sworn to uphold the law. Nothing's ever been done to that judge. That judge goes to sleep every night. Dreams happy dreams. And wakes up in the morning to go and wreck someone else's life.
Mr. Etherton in the trial, well, when he heard the big boom of the battering ram being used to knock down the door behind which Breonna Taylor lay soundly and peacefully sleeping, he said that a bullet whizzed close to his head, and then there was debris and drywall dust where the bullet had come through. Brett Hankinson claimed that Breonna Taylor's boyfriend had fired on him with an AR-15 style assault rifle. That was in his official statement given to investigators. Here's a hint. There was no AR-15 style assault rifle or any kind of rifle in the apartment. And yet, the pettifogger is still claiming that his perception of it was that it was an AR-15 rifle. It was a pistol. But then again, maybe if it's held by a scary black man, anything from a hot dog to a wallet to a Slurpee looks like an AR-15 when a white cop is skewed. And by the way, if he's convicted, Hankinson's looking at 5 whole years in prison. Two other cops were also fired from the department, but they can always go and get another copping job in some other jurisdiction. Kind of tends to make you a little bit nauseated. So we're past the halfway mark of the program. We are $860 in the hole. There are $45 worth of challenges on the table that as yet remain unmet. Sure would be great if we could at least knock out $90 of the $860. This is the stressy time of the month. Breonna Taylor, Matt in San Francisco, says, so basically the drywall is more important than a black person, and people wonder why we say Black Lives Matter. I know. No. Thanks, Matt. Let's run over to the stress line, see who we've got there. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Miss Terry?
Robin?
Yes.
Yes?
Took me a minute. I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah, sorry. I called in the old-fashioned way.
Okay. Well, and when you do that, I can't tell who's on the line, so I just wanted to wrap those stories up.
Yeah. I know. It's okay. Sorry.
You're fine. You're fine. So I started the program, Terry, talking about this. By the way, is my dear sister Terry Ellen, who is, I guess we would say a trans activist down in Alabama. Is that the appropriate term?
That would be. Yeah, trans activist, geologist, all round good Southern Belle. Yeah.
Absolutely, you look so fabulous in a hoop skirt. Hey, you want?
Oh yeah, I haven't tried that yet.
There's a little bit of breakup on the phone here. You want to try and come back in via messenger?
Yeah. I can do that. No
okay,
problem.
Talk to you in a sec. Bye. I really wanted to get Terry's perspective on what's going on in Texas, and she can tell us about what's going on in Alabama as well. That's, relative to the ongoing attack on trans kids. Might take a second. Let me get the thing open here. There we go. See if we can make this thing work. Some days the magic works. Some days it doesn't work so well. We'll get there. We'll get there. Ah, good, good, good. Come on, connect. Okay, do I have you now? Now we can maybe try again. I don't know why this isn't working.
Can you hear me now?
Aha, there you are, yes. Yes, I do.
Sorry,
I do.
Messenger will not go to my selected microphone. I always have to manually choose the freaking thing, but you know how mega rhymes with MAGA. So, you know.
Yeah, true enough, true enough. Well, before we jump into things, how are you?
Good. Stressed a bit, but other than that, not too bad.
Just tell me it's getting warm down there. I need somebody to be warm somewhere.
Oh, yeah, it was 76 degrees down here.
Okay, that's too warm.
It was nice, actually.
Well, I mean, down there, the stuff's probably getting ready to bloom now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the azaleas are blooming, but, you know, pitifully, but they are. We haven't had a good azalea season in several years. I mean, our weather has been quite pinky, put it lightly. It's just not, we haven't had normal winter weather in a while. Huge swings, cold to warm, cold to warm. Every time we have a freeze, that's when something's budding. So,
well, I, as you know, I pestered you earlier so as to get your take on Greg Aspott's letter in Texas. My read on it is that he has basically declared open season on trans kids and their parents. Have I got that right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, he's basically trying to make criminals of trans kids and anybody that supports them, whether it be a parent, a doctor, a clinic, a teacher, basically anybody who would offer them support. And all this on medical care that has been vetted, proven to be helpful, makes life better, quality of life for these kids, improves dramatically, suicide risk goes way down. They don't have to go through a puberty, you know, that you and I went through, and the hell that occurs and the effect on your mental health going through a puberty you desperately want to escape from. You know, you and I didn't have a choice. There was not an option for us back in the 70s when we went through puberty. For these kids, there's an option. And when you know there's an option and you can have it, and some person like...
No, you can use all the fun words here. Just remember.
Yeah, some asswipe like Abbott strips it violently, frankly, from your grasp and threatens to put your parents in jail or your doctor or your teachers or anybody who supports you in this endeavor is beyond evil. I don't know how else to put it. You know, all these individuals, you know, like Abbott, are such good, upstanding Christians. Oh my God, let me clutch my pearls. But they seem to forget a key verse in the Bible, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 46, where Jesus talks about separating the goats from the sheep. And at the end, he goes, when you do it to the least of these, do it to me. No, he talks about you don't visit the sick, you don't feed the hungry, you don't see the people in prison, and you don't clothe the naked. Well, you don't give affirmative medical care to trans kids. And if you're a Christian, you really need to pay attention to that. If you do not think this doesn't apply to really the least of these, which is trans kids, God, there's only, you know, maybe 2% of kids that are transgender, and even lesser number of those who have dysphoria severe enough that they need puberty blockers. And by the way, surgical things are not done to minors.
No, at all. Most of that list of banned stuff isn't happening in the first place.
No, hormones are not given until age of 16 or 18. Surgery doesn't happen to generally at least 18 years of age. So no children, prepubescent, pre-adolescents, are going on hormones or having surgery of any kind whatsoever. If somebody says that, it is a bald-faced lie. And we all know who the father of lies are, and that's the devil, the Satan, Lucifer. And so they're all doing the devil's work, basically, in this. It's very, very simple. If you really read the Bible and understand it, which every trans person in the South has read the Bible probably multiple times, trying to figure out an escape clause for us, you know?
Looking for a loophole.
Yes. And we find that, well, Jesus loves us as we are. Just as we are.
I seem to remember hearing an altar call song that went just like that.
That's it. So how do these people, this party, the GOP, which is just after us, we are enemy, you know, we are public enemy number one to the GOP these days. And to think that they're not going to go after the adults once they, you know, kick the kids to the curb, where next?
Sure.
And then who else are they going to go after? What sin, you know, quote-unquote sin, are you guilty of? Are they going to throw you to the fire? Are they going to pillory you? Are they going to put you up the cross and crucify you? Because
well, I got one demographic they'll never go after.
What?
Guys who need hard-on pills.
Oh, no, no, no. Remember the... You know, one of the things about banning trans people from military service that was done under Trump was that it cost so much money for our care. You know what the majority of the money was spent on? It was like $167 million a year. You know what like 95% of that cash went to?
Do tell.
Counseling that every trans military person was required to go to weekly.
Just because, because you got to make sure that the trans people aren't crazy.
That's it. Yeah. Surgery and hormones constituted a very tiny amount of that. They spent way more money on ED drugs. Why a military serviceman would need erectile dysfunction medication, especially when he's deployed to the front? Or somewhere, you know, at a base somewhere, exactly, unless he's married? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just checked out some numbers, yeah. Terry, and the latest numbers available for the state of Texas, the population, and remember, it's a huge state.
Yes, it is.
It's got a huge population. There are, according to the 2019 numbers... the total number of children under 18 years is 7,399,810. So the basic mathematics, if you say 1%, that's 73,998 mm-hmm. trans kids in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And they all have had open season declared upon them.
Pretty much. You know, I mean, it's shitty enough to be a teen or even, you know, a child, and I say child before the age of like 12, before puberty, to know you're trans, to know this. And we knew this. You and I knew this, and so many other trans people know this at a very young, early age. And oh my God, to think that you would be criminalized or that the state will rip you from your parents if they are affirming and supportive, which of course provides for the greatest good outcome for a trans child is to be in a family that is supportive and affirming. Data shows this. The facts. Facts are not left or right. They just are. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 5. It's not 3. These are the facts as we know them, period. And when people go off on other tangents, it's just evil. I'm sorry. You've got another agenda of some kind to either erase us, kill us, want to drag us into camps like Putin is purported to have lists of when he invades Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal or put, you know, LGBTQ people in camps. Oh, that's that. What does that remind one of? There's something in history. I'm not sure.
No. Yeah, that, I know. That's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it starts with an H. And people started with it N, I think, the political party.
Yeah. Schicklgruber.
Yeah, Schicklgruber. So it's retarded how medical care that is approved by a medical team, by a mental health team, and by their parents, but yet these Republican yahoos just apparently have become overnight experts into trans care, and that all this is truly child abuse, and all this is being forced upon these poor children. How horrible it is. And it's just the biggest load of BS.
Well, it is, and let's be clear about something. Most of these good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian Republicans aren't creative enough, or actually even they're not active enough, they're not intellectual enough to come up with any of this stuff by themselves.
Astute. Yeah, they're not astute enough.
Every bit of this garbage is pouring out of sewers like the Family Research Council and the Focus on the Family and the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippistan. These are legislative hate group chop shops that come up with this crap, and then the toxic little parrots of the GOP stand there barking words that they don't even understand about things that aren't even science.
No.
But it's really good for the rubes back home watching on their local Fox affiliate.
I mean, this is just mind-boggling to see this occur in America, that criminalization of proper, good, vetted, safe medical care for these trans kids to give them a better quality of life and allows them to not have to go through what you
do. Right, and see, the other part of this thing is that while it references these treatments, Terry, there are such things as trans kids who are in first grade.
Yes,
there are third grade trans kids who can't even throw a rock and hit puberty, but they're living in their perceived gender.
Yeah.
Because they have parents who love them.
Yeah, and this has been labeled as child abuse. Now, this does not have legal teeth, as I understand it. This isn't law. And, of course, there'll be numerous lawsuits filed against
it. Well, but it is. For all intents and purposes, because it is based upon an attorney general's opinion, it has the force of law upon administrative agencies within the executive branch.
God bless.
So if he says that the Department of Family Protective Services shall immediately hunt and file petitions against the parents of trans kids, those people have to do it. Schools have to follow this until such time as it can be enjoined. And frankly, I don't know if it would be enjoined. The problem is you're dealing with state courts in Texas, and you're also dealing with federal courts in Texas, which are jam-packed with right-wing maniac Federalist Society ideologues. And even if somehow or another you manage to get it into, say, the U.S. District Court, well, again, most of the noxious stuff coming that winds up in front of the Supreme Court starts out, they forum shop to particular judges in Texas. And so this would be filed, if something is filed, it would wind up in front of some maniac maggot judge. Then it would go to a circuit court that does everything but sing the Horst Wessel song before every session. And from there, it would go to those six wild-eyed maniacs in Washington. This is dangerous. This is terrifying.
It's beyond terrifying. It's beyond terrifying. And every GOP state will follow suit, basically.
Speaking of every GOP state, what's going on down in my natal state of Alabama? Y'all are fighting your own fight.
Oh, yeah. The bathroom bill passed out of the House last night, late last night. Then of course it will go to the Senate. The medical bill also is still in play, which would do something similar to.
What are the basic parameters of the latest Alabama potty bill? Are we going to protect the cishets from the scary, scary trans kids?
Absolutely, because one of the sponsors, the primary sponsor, said one reason he was doing this is because, you know, that the boys have assaulted girls in the girls' bathroom, even though, you know, he couldn't name a single case that a trans girl had done such a thing to a cis girl because, well, it's never occurred. These are cis males who forcibly go in the girls' bathroom in schools and rape and assault. It has nothing to do with trans people, but he's using it to fearmonger and to support why he's doing this. And also said that, well, you know, some teachers have said that it makes them uncomfortable that these transgenders are using their restroom. That has become the mantra of the GOP.
Uncomfortable.
We can't make people uncomfortable. We're gonna ban books. We're going to ban all kinds of teaching about race. And, oh, my God, you can't make a white child uncomfortable that their ancestors owned slaves. You can't do that. We have to make sure these kids are comfortable and never know the true realities of life. You know, the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida was another thing that there had been amended, and thankfully it's been stripped.
Right.
But that teachers would be bound by the law to out any LGBTQ student that they knew of, had knowledge of, to their parents, regardless if there was a high likelihood that these kids would be kicked out of their home or other adverse effects would occur. Such a statement from the pro-life party. When you say, when at what point do we call these people the death party, which is pretty much what they are? They're not pro-life unless you're white, cisgender, heterosexual, and male primarily.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I don't know what it'll be like in Texas. I remember seeing some video from parents of trans kids testifying before the Texas legislature. Of course, it didn't mean anything. They probably weren't even heard. They were just completely ignored. It was like the buzzing of the whining of a mosquito. But what is the state of, because you know a little bit more about considerable more about this than I do, what's the state of activism? What is it? I mean, are people taking to the streets? How trans people, trans kids, parents, trans allies, are they pushing back hard on this down there on Goat Hill in Montgomery?
Well, yeah, there are, but I mean, we don't have many numbers problem. I mean, that's the thing. When people, you know, we don't have the backlash. We don't have the response that we did have last year against these bills. And it shows. I don't know if people are tired or wore out or numb or just don't give a shit anymore because, well, we're just collateral damage anyway. You know,
are you saying that about the trans community?
I'm saying that about the trans community itself. As you know, I'm the admin of Southern Transgender Alliance, and just, you know, seeing who's commented on things I post about all this is minuscule. Not even 1%, frankly. It is beyond absurd. And just okay, well, just, you know, if you don't stand up for the kids, nobody's going to stand up for us. You know, that old poem from Germany, the Reverend, I forget what his last name was.
Niemöller, was it?
Yeah. I didn't speak up when they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up when they came for the gypsies, and I didn't speak up on X, Y, and Z, and then when they came for me, nobody was left to speak up for me. That's exactly what it is. And if people think, well, I'm not trans, it doesn't affect me, I mean, there's probably something in your life they're going to come after. You know,
eventually, yeah.
Succeed in getting state religions. I mean, we're already getting bills before SCOTUS that they're going to hear this next session about religious freedom. and how religious freedom, the right to religious freedom, should include the right to discriminate regardless of any anti-discriminatory law that may be in place. If their religious freedom gives them that right, their constitutional right to basically fuck over anybody they want in the name of their glorious religion. Why don't we just invite ISIS over? They have sincerely held religious beliefs that they should be able to kill us all. I think we should just accept that, you know, right?
Yeah.
Home over here. I mean, they have sincerely held religious beliefs, Robin. I mean, they're entitled, you know.
Wait, so hold on. Let's say some ISIS come over here and they open a pizza shop in, let's say, Taliban, Indiana.
Yeah.
And they put up a sign that says, "We, because of our sincerely held religious beliefs, we reserve the right to cut the heads off of any infidel who orders a pizza here."
Yeah, and we'll convert to Islam.
Yeah, right, and refute. Well, that goes without saying. Yeah, that's included. That's included in infidel.
You get a chance to convert, but the Quran says that they have the right to kill anybody who won't convert on the spot.
Or they say the Quran says, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And the Supreme Court, you know, with people like John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh and Justice Handmaid. Well, okay, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act says that you get to do that.
Sure. Why not?
I mean, we're being somewhat facetious and overbroad, but the fact of the matter is, this way lies madness. Yeah, I don't know if you realized it, but in looking at the letter from Ken Paxton and the letter from Greg Abbott, there's actually a duty of reporting imposed on everyone, not just teachers, doctors, social workers, what have you. Yeah. Everybody in the state of Texas has a duty to rat out the trans kids.
Yeah.
And the people caring for them. Next step is to put a $10,000 bounty on them and let them sue the guy who changes the oil of the car that mommy and daddy use to take baby to the doctor.
Yeah. Imposes Texas law also imposes a duty to investigate the parents of a child who is subjected to these abusive gender transitioning procedures, because heaven knows the child doesn't want this. He's just doing it for mom and dad.
Yeah, you know, it's a phase, it's a fad. They'll grow out of it. I mean, we did, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, 40 years of that. I mean, look how we turned out. I mean, fuck.
I've really been growing out of it in the last 15 weeks, I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. I thought it would go away when I was 20, then 30, then 40. It never does. You know, conversion therapy doesn't work. None of that shit they bring up in meetings. These transphobes that talk about how it's child abuse and it's horrible mutilation. And it's just experimentation on these poor children and whatnot. It's like, no, it's not. This medical care.
Experimentation implies that it's something we don't know about, that we're trying to find out using the scientific method. We're trying to find out whether we're right or wrong about a hypothesis. The hypothesis has long since been proven. If there was a legitimate medical operation out there, organization, say the American Academy of Pediatrics, that said, maybe not, or the American Psychological Association or the American Association of Child Psychiatrists.
Exactly.
But every one of those organizations that I've just mentioned is squarely in the camp that says gender-affirming care is life-saving.
Yes, life-saving. Key word there, life-saving.
I mean, I've gotten to the point where every time I see one of these tragic stories about some 12-year-old that killed themselves, one question runs through my mind immediately. Probably you too. Wonder if they were trans.
Oh, yeah. You know, can you sue the governor for manslaughter? Accessory to basically the death.
Yeah, negligent homicide.
Negligent. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is what the fuck this is what it will be when you strip the hope of these kids who have no avenue to escape.
You know, there are. They
will be put in a fucking abusive Christian home, beat within an inch of their life, put in conversion therapy because it's merciful. As
the, yeah, shock the trans world. Out of them. Sure, why not?
I mean, you know, we'll just either beat it out of them or talking out of them or something. We're going to save their soul because it hurts us so much more than it does them. We're just merciful in our great love of these children. The fucking bullshit.
Why do you suppose it is? Why do you suppose it's so damn difficult to get allies to act on this? I think, for instance, about there are with all the assaults on a woman's right to manage the workings of her own reproductive system in Texas, there are organizations down there that now will literally they're constantly fundraising to be able to fly women out of Texas so that they can attend to their reproductive health care needs.
There's going to be a trans kid underground railroad. And I hope the hell it starts tonight. My God, get these kids out the fuck of Texas. And then to New Mexico or Colorado. Those are probably the closest, safest states that one can go to from Texas. And I hope the hell they get out of there. That's the only recourse they have because
a woman who flies from say El Paso to Topeka, Kansas, for an abortion, she comes back and there's no way. But the thing is, we're talking about having to get children, and by the way, 73,000 of them out of Texas. And this is like some sort of a refugee. This is like a refugee crisis.
Yeah, pretty much.
And of course, all the fine Christians in Texas would be happy to have them gone, because that's the problem. Just seeing us, our mere visibility, is somehow a horror, a repugnant, disgusting reminder that we exist. And I know you've dealt with it. I've dealt with it. You know. And so, you know, how do you get mom, dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, and the child the hell out of Texas?
Like I said, underground railroad, just like the slaves were taken out of the South. Serpentipously hidden.
It's a hell of a note for 2022.
Imagine... You talked about Breonna Taylor earlier and the no-knock warrant and then busting in at night. Imagine this occurring. Trans kids busting in at midnight, stripping the kid from their safe home in bed, ripping them from their parents. Their parents arrested, and the kid put in some bullshit foster system there in Texas. And you know good and well it's going to be some sort of fucking so-called good Christian home.
Oh, yeah.
Where this child will be brought up right, lovingly, you know, taught how God made them the sex they were born, and it is a violation and rebelling against God's will and plan for their life, because, well, whatever anatomy you have between your legs certainly dictates whatever the fuck you are, right? It is beyond nauseating.
And the thing is, you posted a map over there in LGBTQ plus news today that shows varying degrees it's color coded, a map of the United States that shows the sane and civilized states. Then they're dark green and on the map, and it's California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado,
New Mexico.
And then most of the New England states.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
the old Confederate states.
And then, blood red Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, and Arkansas. So we know what Arkansas has done. Idaho, South Dakota, and there are no rights there at all. And so, you know, if we're talking about 73,000 kids in Texas, by the time you do the demographics on that, we're talking about. And I don't throw the. Is it wrong to use the word genocide in this context? Do they?
I don't know, Robbie. I mean that.
I mean, they want us. They want these kids dead.
Gen of suicide, maybe it would be the appropriate term. Gen of suicide. This is going to cause many trans kids to take their own life more than one. Whether now or later, imagine a trans kid being subjected to the true child abuse that will occur when they're put into a so-called loving Christian home that will beat the shit out of them. Spoil the rot, spoil the child, you know. That's in the good book, right? In the good book, by God. You know?
Well, I think you want to give them a
burr head, you know? Shave that head and again have hair down to below your ears, by God, no. And you'll be wear a shirt and tie and put in a good Christian school where they'll be indoctrinated as much as possible. I mean, the living fucking hell that will be for these kids.
Yeah, the little trans boys forced into girly girl dresses.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I recall once that you said that you, just a very rough estimate, 11,000 trans kids in Alabama.
Yeah.
All this legislative energy aimed at 11,000 people.
Yeah. And of course, that doesn't mean every single one of them is out.
That's no.
Statistically, that they know they're trans and would identify themselves as such on the survey. Not adding themselves to anybody, just revealing themselves on a survey if they do that. So you're talking even a fewer number to be enemy number one. In all these states, we are, as I said earlier, when Christ talked about when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. God, we are literally the least of these in numbers. I mean, we are literally, when people talk about, well, the Bible says it, it's literally true. Well, okay, here we are.
Yeah, we talked about Adam and Eve last night and that literal biblical interpretation, you know.
Yeah.
Adam was the first non-binary. I don't know about Texas, but I know you watch what goes on in Alabama. Are there people who at least speak up in the Alabama legislature with anything resembling the force and fury that you bring to this conversation?
Yes, we have Democrat supporters that speak up for us, and the legislature, you know, and Democrats voted against this bill last night, the bathroom bill, but, I mean, we're outnumbered by Republicans, and they all vote lock and step on this evil. They vote for it. And you know, every single one of them claims to be a good, God-fearing Christian. Well, I hope they are a God-fearing Christian, because come Judgment Day, God's going to put the fucking fear in them big time when he brands them as a goat and throws them off into the lake of fire that was built for the devil and his angels.
Bah, motherfucker, bah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, Don't throw the Bible at me. I can throw verses right back at you.
Yeah, we learned the language.
Yeah, and
we understood the assignment as the current as one of the current memes goes.
I understood the assignment, and I have tweeted that. I have emailed that. I've sent letters to that effect with that, talking about that verse, hoping beyond hope to sink some sense in these people. If you're not going to take the science and the medical facts and everything from experts, then look at the Christian side of that coin. Where the fuck do you think you're going to be on Judgment Day? Jesus was pretty damn clear in those verses.
I didn't stutter.
Yeah, he didn't stutter. He's pretty damn clear of, like, when you do it to them, you did it to me. And it's obvious he's talking about so-called Christians. Well, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and thrown out demons. We are just great, wondrous, righteous followers.
Which one of us is going to sit at your right hand? Which one is going to sit at your right hand? Who gets a crown?
Yeah, it's like, when did we see you naked or hungry or in prison or sick? We never saw you like that.
They really were pretty dim, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And, well, obviously that hadn't changed much, has it? I don't know if that gives us as trans people a little more perspective. You know, as I've told you before, you know, I'm a Christian. I prayed desperately to have this trans thorn taken out of my side, and God told me no. Very emphatically, very loudly.
No.
No. Okay. Well, you know, I thought I had faith inside and must succeed and all that. And I didn't get my miracle. I don't know of a trans person who ever has, because I searched high and low on the internet when I was desperately trying to get out of this. I couldn't find a single soul, Robin, on the internet who touted praise to God, to high heaven, that they had been cured of being transgender. Not a single one. Don't you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the real miracle occurs when we come to the realization that we are who we are, and that we are as deserving of life on this planet as any other human being. That's the miracle.
Yeah, it is a miracle. And the, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I felt like I obeyed, that God was asking me to do things that I could not do as a man.
Because overcoming the self-loathing and the self-disgust, and finally being able to revel in happiness in our authenticity, to use religious terms, is miraculous. I know it felt like it for me.
But it's also, for me, it was also obedience. I mean, you may think of that as weird or whatever, but it also was. I often thought of Moses. I was raised on the Bible stories. Some of my earliest memories are of my mother reading us Bible stories up on her bed with my siblings. And I often thought of Moses, 80-year-old man, okay, he'd been in Gideon, or I don't remember exactly where he was, you know, at the foot of Mount Sinai, tending his flocks, and had gotten married, had children, and his children had children, and he had his family around him. Life was pretty damn good for Moses after being kicked the hell out of Egypt, you know, as a prince of Egypt when he was 40. 40 years later, he's 80, and God comes to him and goes, "Oh, hey, I want you to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, okay?"
Ah, come on!
Yeah, Moses didn't want to do that. He didn't exactly go, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'll be good." Right on that. You know? You don't want to fuck go do that. Are you kidding? That's the true fear of God when people talk about God fearing. It's, what is God going to ask you to do if you don't want to do it? Yeah, that was me. I didn't want to transition. I had a good life. I had a good wife.
Had it made.
So, it was tough for me, as I know it was for you as well. Every trans person that goes through this, especially those of us who transition later in life and have fought tooth and nail to be the gender and the sex we were assigned at birth, and tried to do all the damn things everybody told you, just need more male bonding, you just need to go play some golf, play football, all that will just, you know, really man you up, and so on and so forth, and bullshit and bullshit and bullshit and lies. None of that works.
Nope.
I don't give a damn how long you do it. You and I did it for 40 God blessed years. At least.
Yeah. And so it does. It does. Yeah. And eventually you realize you can't run or land anymore.
And so no, I was tired of running away. I was tired. I was just tired of dealing with it.
Well, in terms of where our allies are, Jeremy in Vermont just wrote in and said, "I know far too many who preach the old 'I don't know any of them for it to affect me' crap." You know, it's the right. You know, when they came for the gypsies, I did not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and maybe one of the things that liberals and progressives, decent people, need to understand is you're on the list too. They just haven't gotten to you yet.
They just don't understand at all. And now they don't, is beyond me. It's like they're telling you what the hell they're going to do. Why? Please. indeed the truth, that they're telling us what they want to do. They've told us again and again. This is what they're after. It's what they continually bang on the door to make happen. You know, enough already. Believe them.
Right. One of the things I worry about is that if you look at that map that shows all those red states, and I don't know why West Virginia is not red, we've got a non-discrimination ordinance in the city of Beckley, so that means, you know, something good is happening. But we're gold instead of red, but there's a lot of gold. There's very little green. And the fact of the matter is, the number of states that are actually designated as green on that chart made one thing abundantly clear to me. That means that the divide-and-conquer strategy is damned well working, and eventually there will be so many red states in terms of LGBTQ rights. This wasn't just trans rights. It was LGBTQ rights. That the people who have, you know, the red states are red, they're bought, and they're going to stay bought. That makes them good, corrupt governments. But it isolates the green states so that they can be divided and conquered. And make no mistake, the people that want to take rights away, they've got operations in California, they've got operations in New York, they've got operations in Massachusetts and Oregon and Washington. You're damn right they've got organizations there, and they go hammer and tongs.
Tooth and nail. Trans kids have testified numerous times in fighting these bills over the years, and here we are.
And to watch some of these things is absolutely heartbreaking. The testimony coming out of, say, Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, Texas, you'd have to have a heart of stone to watch this and not just weep. But the thing I'd like, and again, I know people, you're always talking about trans stuff now, goddammit. But what I say over and over again, and you heard me earlier, I talk about these things because these are the things that they are making issues. These are where they have defined the terms of the fight. And, you know, we know for a fact, based on that story out of Michigan a couple of nights ago, all three candidates for the Republican nomination for Attorney General in Michigan said that Griswold versus Connecticut needs to be overturned.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the right to abortion. That's the right to privacy.
Contraception.
That's contraception. That's the sodomy laws. That's Obergefell. You know, you can't have Obergefell without Lawrence.
No.
Everybody who is not them is on their list. And eventually, when they get to the point where they've gotten everybody else, they'll turn on each other.
Yeah, the cannibalism will start. And then it will be like, what flavor of Christianity are you? You know, you're just not the right denomination.
Right.
And that's really where the founders were when freedom of religion was put in the Bill of Rights. They had seen the horrible effects of having the state religions that every colony had one. In fact, state religions were somewhat common until the last one went away in, I think, 1873. It was North or South Carolina. They saw that you couldn't hold office unless, like, you were a Methodist in Connecticut. And don't quote me on that. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
You had to be the right denomination.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like being on the. It's kind of like being part of city government in Florence, Alabama. You better be Church of Christ.
Yeah. Well, same difference.
Sorry, that was just too easily to hand.
At school, they couldn't have a prom because there'd be dancing.
Exactly. Junior senior banquet.
And that's such a delight when the school across town, the other public high school, got to have a fucking prom and dancing, but we didn't because over half of our staff was Church of Christ or Baptist, and my God, there would be no dancing, all because of religion. Don't you remember we had prayers every day?
Oh, I do. I do. I did the morning Bible reading on a few occasions. And their eyes shall rot out in their heads, and their tongues shall be as dead things. I mean, it's from the Bible.
So you and I know what it's like.
To live in Christian theocracy? You're damn right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I even know what it's like to be pre-condemned to the hot place just for going to see a movie. Life of Brian.
Oh, Life of Brian, yeah. It was such a wonderful satire. And like, all these, y'all, it's like, y'all don't really have a damn clue what this movie is really about, you know?
No, somebody told him it was bad, though.
Oh, it was bad, absolutely. It just went freaking
but
nuts.
But everybody, and I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. Everybody's on the list.
Yes, everybody. That ain't them. That's how it works. That's how it works. They're just starting with us because
we're easy.
We are the least of these in numbers. We're earmonger all the hell and back because of the kids. Oh, and let's not forget women's sports.
Oh, dear God.
We can have all the protocols in place, but heaven forbid that a trans woman actually fucking win. Oh, we got to change everything.
Even though mostly they lose.
Yeah, mostly they lose. And, you know, the one in the Olympics didn't even place, and people went berserk, and the IOC had to go and revise everything because, well, shit, I know, a trans woman actually competed. You're not really supposed to do this. We just pretended, you know, to be inclusive and all that sort of PC and stuff, that you really weren't supposed to be here. You know, it smacks so much of racism. I'm sorry. Same shit. Or just a different flavor.
Well, bigotry is... It is similar insofar as it is bigotry imposed in an institutional basis upon a non-dominant culture.
And that's us. We are the minority... of the minorities.
I know you read some of the same things. I see so many posts in so many forums from younger trans people saying, somebody just please tell me where it's safe for me to go and live.
Yeah, I know. I don't. A blue state.
And your heart just breaks. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Colorado these days because, among other things, Colorado's insurance commission has made sure that, as a matter of human rights, insurance companies in Colorado apparently have to cover all the gender confirmation surgeries.
And there's a bill in Tennessee in the legislature right now that will ban insurance companies from covering any trans-related care, any, minor or adult.
And see, some of these things are so fairly are so easy to attack because they're dead losers. You're going to lose in court, and you're going to spend a shitload of taxpayer money to lose a case that you obviously have to lose if previous case law holds up.
How does one?
Well, these are people who claim to be fiscal conservatives, and they should be pilloried, and because for hanging themselves on their own petards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see the little thing
hoisting.
Of the governor up in, I think it's North Dakota, Governor...
Oh, Kristi Noem, South Dakota?
No, thank you, South Dakota. A reporter asked her, you know, why trans people were so depressed in South Dakota. And she goes, I don't know, that's so sad. We need to look into that. It's like, you God-blessed fucking bitch. You are a big reason why trans people are damn depressed in your state.
And Jeremy just said, Vermont, it's not safe to live here as far as I can see. Vermont!
Why?
Because Vermont, for all the reputation that it has, has more than its fair share of... Well, I mean, Jeremy's remarked in the past, it ain't nothing to see a Confederate flag flying in Vermont.
Oh, yeah, well. It ain't nothing to see it in Canada.
Right.
You know, it's everywhere. I'm sorry. That flag stands for racism and white.
Well, that's what you fly. That's what you fly if what you really want to fly is that flag from 1930s Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And it means the same thing.
Pretty much. Because, well, you know, Hitler studied the Ku Klux Klan and their policies and shit.
Where that Confederate battle flag is concerned, the number of stolen human beings who perished on the Middle Passage between Africa and the Western Hemisphere, just the ones who died on the way, there was recently a submarine memorial placed to the, I think, 7 million Africans who just died on the damn boats. 7 million.
Yeah.
So their agenda doesn't change. They just look for different victims.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for us as trans women to talk about our experiences as such, but it is unfair, I think, and I sort of touched on it a little bit earlier. The trans guys don't have it any easier, and arguably may have it worse. You know, I don't think we can get into any sort of trauma Olympics on this, but you know,
yeah, trans guys haven't been vilified for being in the Olympics, and we had a trans athlete back in 2015. Okay,
yeah.
It's only the trans women that get vilified, and we are constantly vilified on bathrooms. Trans men aren't. They get included on these bills, just, well, you know, make sure it's legit. But when you listen to all the legislatures, they're talking about the girls and the women and the trans girls and how unsafe and horrible it is for these men to be pretending to be women so they can get into the women's spaces and rape and pillage, you know, or win a competition. Oh, that's what we want to do, right? Go on hormones and have surgery and all that shit just so we could go in the women's bathroom or win a race or some such other bullshit. They don't do that to trans men. Trans men are never seen as a threat.
Right, and because they assume that the patriarchy will just silence them as a matter of course.
Yeah.
I got a note here from our buddy Scott in San Diego, going back to you talking about Moses. Next time, Mose, get an unlisted bush. That's a good line. Seriously, though, Rose Kennedy said, God wants a different thing from each of us, laborious or easy, conspicuous or quite private, but something which only we can do and for which we were created. P.S. Even after all that wandering in the desert, Moses never actually got to enter the Promised Land, but he did get to see it. Sometimes knowing there's a there can be enough. Most of us are way more fortunate when it comes to happiness, contentment, mission, identity. We not only get to get there, we discover it's more of a process than a destination. There are milestones and there are moments. Both are good, or they can be, if we let them be. And Kevin just wrote in from Colorado Springs and said, yes, Colorado might be safe for now for trans people, but we're having a gubernatorial election this November, and if a Republican gets elected, then I would venture a guess that all that safeness goes away. Signed, Kevin, in the heart of very, very red Colorado Springs. And of course it is. I mean, that's the big bloody palm print of the Bible banging, God-bothering movement in Colorado.
And of course, that's where Dr. Bowers, premier surgeon,
mm-hmm.
Trained under another doctor. When I first seriously, you know, was dealing with my dysphoria, I knew about her, looked her up. There's a documentary on
Marcy Bowers, yeah.
Marcy Bowers, you know. She started in Colorado Springs. That used to be the trans mecca.
Yeah, that was just about the only. It was about the only place you could go to get the work done.
Yeah, 12 years ago, that was about it. in America. That was about it.
And there, for all the negative that we talk about, what the Affordable Care Act didn't do, it did change everything because it said you have to cover the surgery.
Yep.
These surgeries within parameters established by the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. And that led to a flowering. For instance, there's a guy doing it now in Louisville who trained for years and years and years at OHSU, the Oregon Health Sciences University. And they do probably 1,000 or more a year. Wow. And then there's Dr. Rachel Bluebon Langner at NYU Medical Center, and she does some absolutely fantastic work. And of course, yours, mine down in Alabama. I think the point is to make this stop. As far back as the 1970s, a TERF was arguing that there should be so few surgeons allowed to do this work that it would fundamentally make us go away. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, this is the modern incarnation. It's been going on since the late
70s. Oh, yeah, it's been going on since we existed.
Yeah. Well, remember the cops who were haranguing people at Stonewall were haranguing the drag queens.
Yeah.
Who back then may or may not have been transgender. Hard to say. But they were the ones who got disgusted and threw the first brick.
Marsha Johnson.
Yep.
Trans woman who is reportedly threw the first brick and had enough.
Trans woman of color.
What was it? Compton Donuts Rising out on the West Coast. Same difference. Tired as shit of being harassed by the cops of the city. Same shit.
And it's just such a pity that so few people know this history, because it's actually a history of freedom.
FX had a really good series last year. It may still be on there. It was like 6 episodes that discussed LGBTQ community and whatnot in each decade, 50s, 60s, 70s, went through the time. It was very, very enlightening. I can't remember what it was called. It might have just been called Pride or something like that. But there were 6 episodes, I remember that. It was really, really good if your audience wants to learn more about LGBTQ history and how there were a lot more of us back then than you would think. And they weren't just in the closet. They were open and about. Trans women got together and dressed up, and some of them just looked freaking amazing. I'm sorry. It's like, my God, it was very enlightening. It really was.
I'll have to look that up. It is exhausting, isn't it, Terry?
It is. It's just feel powerless. It's just a constant, and people around me just they don't understand. And even ones in our community, Robin, it feels like you want to just shake them and go, wake up! Wake up! If you don't stand up for yourself, who the fuck is going to stand up for you? You can't expect somebody to come in and save your ass. We can't stand up and save our own ass. There is no white knight for us.
No. No, we're dragon bait.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Oh, I need to. I'd like to add another voice to our conversation. Jeremy in Vermont is on the Skype line. Welcome, Jeremy.
Please. I'm okay. I'm a little shaken about different things going on today between these bills and what happened in New York, trying to keep the faith. But Terry had asked, why Vermont? Well, we definitely have Confederates. We definitely have Trump supporters. We have Nazis. We have them all here. In fact, when I was a kid, which compared to you guys, you women, wasn't that long ago, there was a time when, even when Bernie was still mayor here, You could not walk down the proverbial church street after 5:30 without running into fucking skinheads. They ran the street. This is in Vermont. The first state to free the slaves and all the other fun stuff. So they exist. The second thing is, I don't think, and this is me personally, I could be wrong, we're as much a minority as we like to think we are. And I bring this to your attention. There's the three of us. There's Dan's daughter. There's my friend who used to be my old roommate. There's a person I know who's one of my classmates, used to be her husband. All within the last 5 years, I found out about these people. There's a lot more of us in the world gives us credit for. A lot more.
And of, and of course, one of the things that applies there as well is some people just want to transition and disappear into the larger society. I'm not one of those people who can do that. Never going to be able to do that.
Yeah, at our stage of the game, it's nigh and impossible to do.
Yeah, the damage is done.
You know, history, IDs, all that electronic stuff. Back in the 70s, you know, you possibly could have done it. Moved somewhere else and started a new life and just made up a history. And there was no internet to, you know, stalk you with or you know, all that. There was no way for you and I to do that, Robin.
And there's no way now. I mean, I can't get over my shoulders. I can't get over my height. I can't get over my feet. You know, all those things that the TERFs like to point out. But the one thing is, with what I'm doing, I'm happy. And I can't hide that either. You know, Jeremy, what you say about there being more of us than may meet the eye is true, I think. I told Terry this story offline, but I had a profound little moment one evening. I had stopped in at a store just for something, and, you know, I'm every day I present as feminine as I possibly can, and on the one hand, it's kind of like, well, I just got clocked, but on the other, it was like, maybe I was here for a reason, because the clerk looked at me, a young person, to my eye looking male, and said, and whispered, it was just barely above a whisper, lest anybody else hear, can you tell me where I can get on HRT?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I was bawling in the car when I, because I took a piece of paper, I wrote down where to go, who to talk to, and then added, and you can talk to me anytime. And then I noticed their nails were painted. And I said, you trans like me? And she said, yeah, I am. I said, anything I can do to help, I will.
That is one of the boons, the joy, the gift, being visible. And what I mean by that, being out in public and doing live. And other trans people have really good transdar. You know, people talk about gaydar.
We have transistors.
Yes. And
I had it before I knew what it was.
To be able to help somebody like that is an amazing, wondrous gift. It really is.
But there, and but there's also, yeah, there, go ahead, Jeremy.
The person I was speaking of that used to be my friend's husband, I met him years ago when he was a he, and I saw something in his eyes. I didn't know what it was, but I've had that sense ever since I didn't know what it was. I can see it in people, whether they admit it or not. It's there. I know it's there.
It's definitely a vibe. Of course, the other side, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because the other thing you don't want to do is run up to somebody and go, oh, hey, honey.
No.
Because that's a little on the rude side.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, you don't want to force them out if they're not comfortable with it either. If they're still kind of, you know, keeping it hidden, they don't want to be outed, then sometimes that will cause a problem too. But there's definitely a sense there, which I cannot explain, that I think we all share, especially later in life where we see something in someone which they may not admit to the world, but we know it's there. Just like I've said for years now, Robin, I knew that you were the night you questioned me when I asked you. I knew what it was. That very second I knew. I was never shocked like everyone else was when you made the big announcement last New Year's Eve. Did not shock me in the least.
Yeah, you were one of the members of the Well, It's About Time group. And that all just, like I said,
it's just a sense. It's just something that I cannot explain. And, you know, I've heard some of the same naysayers that you spoke of earlier who talk about, oh, it's too much this, too much that for them now. And I said, you know what? She's not goddamn wrong. She's not making up lies, not making up shit. And people will be like, oh, well, we have a different opinion. So what's your fucking opinion? That it's a lie, that she's making up, she's overplaying it? Because in the end, your opinion doesn't mean jack shit unless you have facts to back it up. So I'm equally annoyed about some of this in my own way.
I have since seen that person. I saw that one night who, and the store's busy, and I don't want to put anybody in any jeopardy, but just quietly, you okay? And she goes, yeah. It's like, yay. And we spend so much time wondering, you know, what trans does.
I don't think about that anymore. I spent so much of my life in trying to figure out the why of it. You know, I got beyond that. Didn't matter anymore because I couldn't do anything about the why. But I could move forward and I could transition and I could get rid of my dysphoria, and I fucking did.
Yeah, there's a meme that circulates. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I'm definitely well beyond the why, and how can I change it, how can I stop it, and the years of, oh, it's a phase, or therapy, and people try to talk to me. No, sorry, that's all gone. I know there's no coming back, and I don't blame a creator for this. I don't blame anyone. It is who I am, and it's just that's the way life is, and I'm okay with it. Problem is, there's a large portion of society, including some of our own side, who when push comes to shove, they will not be okay with it. Because it threatens their well-being for whatever fucking reason they come up with.
Yeah. I was going to say there's a meme, and I know Terry's seen it, that floats around. And it says, the woman you are becoming will cost you people, relationships, spaces, and material things. Choose her over everything. And that's what it comes down to. Just with a note, our dear friend Cynthia in the Bay Area says, I'm not sure if there's anywhere that's safe. There are dangerous anti-trans jerks pretty much everywhere, and whenever you hear someone working themselves up into an anti-trans frenzy, it's time to run and get away. It's happened to me in a parking lot early on before my transition when a guy came up from across the lot to check out those pretty chicks. I was with two other women, both cis, and then he figured out what was going on with me and started work himself up towards a violent frenzy. My friend said, get in the car and go, and we did. Leaving him standing in the parking lot looking at our dust. I hate to think what he might have done otherwise, and that was right here in the Bay Area. Be aware and be safe. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere there's shitty places. There is no 100% safe. All it takes is one asshole somewhere to fuck your life up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not so much the places that are safe or unsafe. It's the assholes in them. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
and
it did. I told the story last week. It didn't come to anything, but the big old dude with the bushy hair, who was standing there staring, you know, trying to stare holes through me as I talked to somebody in the local sheets, and it was just trying to make sure that he was heard. Unbelievable. And then when the clerk said thank you, ma'am, to me after I'd paid for everything, again. Unbelievable! And my whole being wanted to start some shit because I'm not that far removed from a time when I would have.
Yeah, it's difficult not to turn around and go. What's unbelievable is you're a fucking bigot.
Yeah.
And good day to you, sir. Bye.
But in the end, you have to remember it says more about them than they'll ever say about you. It says there's something you request in them. Not everybody, it's them, it's not you. It's something they see that they earn for, they're curious about, but they're afraid to fucking admit it. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I almost guarantee it. To the T.
Yeah. By the way, I just got a notification from BuzzFeed News. They've at least picked it up. Texas Governor Abbott wants agencies to investigate gender-affirming care for trans youth as child abuse. Doctors say it's dangerous. I don't like that headline because Doctors say what's dangerous? Investigating children for being trans? Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Doctors say it's dangerous. Excuse me? No. Not the medical treatment thereof. It's not dangerous. It isn't. You know, no more dangerous than taking aspirin every day.
No.
Tylenol. You know, there are more ER admissions in hospitals across our country because of overdosing on Tylenol. Because of the effects on the liver of people
taking
too much and not realizing it. That's dangerous. And hey, are we banning Tylenol? No. And we have a bill here in Alabama to permit open carry. You don't have to get a permit anymore to get a gun. And you know damn well it's going to pass.
Oh, sure.
That's dangerous.
The wise souls in Charleston want guns in schools here. More guns in schools.
I just don't... You know, since Texas passed it last fall, death rates from guns in children have risen dramatically.
Well, this BuzzFeed article, you have to read way the hell down into the body, but you finally get a paragraph that says, according to the American Medical Association, criminalizing health care for transgender minors is a dangerous intrusion into the practice of medicine. The Endocrine Society and the Pediatric Endocrine Society oppose any legislation that bans medical and surgical treatments for transgender children and calls prescribing hormones recommended strategy if criteria are met. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry says gender-diverse youth who are supported to live and or explore the gender role that is consistent with their gender identity have better mental health outcomes than those who are not. Catherine Oakley, who is the state legislative director and senior counsel for the Human Rights Campaign, said that Texas parents and trans kids should try not to panic. I'm confident that this is not going to be enforceable in a court of law. I wish I shared her optimism. But I know what the court system looks like in Texas, and I know what it looks like at the federal district court level. I know what it looks like at the circuit court level, and I goddamned well know what it looks like at the Supreme Court level,
didn't negate abortion.
Right, where the longest serving justice on that court, his spouse was actively involved in trying to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 election. And we're not, and Texas parents shouldn't panic. I'm not saying they should, but I damn sure understand if they are. I mean, I happen to know, in Alabama, I know the parent of a trans child, and she's beside herself, and rightly so.
Rightly so. I'm sorry. Because they know where they are. Problem. There's no doubt in my mind that they know exactly where the trans kids are at who socially transition, who may be on puberty blockers.
Yeah, there's probably a list.
I have no doubt, frankly. I have no doubt of that.
Hey, Jeremy, take care of yourself. I'm glad you chimed in. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Thanks.
You stay safe, honey, okay?
Sorry for coming here to vent. Yeah, sorry for venting. I had to come somewhere.
Oh, no. We exist for that sole purpose. You take care of yourself and hope you get a little more snowmobiling in before the season's out.
Well, I'm supposed to get a foot Friday. We'll see.
Hot damn. Fired up. Take care, Jeremy.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
Bye now. Yeah, Terry, Jeremy's big into snowmobiling up in Vermont, or snow machining as Godzilla from...
Well, yeah. You know, he's got the weather for that. Down here, well, it would just be...
I had a friend once who hated winter with a purple passion, and he said, you know what I'm going to do one of these days? And I said, what? And he said, I'm going to buy a snowmobile. I said, well, we don't get enough snow to support snowmobiling. He said, I ain't ever going to ride it.
I'm going to put it on a trailer, and I'm going to start driving south till I get to somewhere, and somebody at the gas station says, what in the hell is that? And then I'll know it's safe for me to be there, because it won't be no winter. Might have been headed right for the Gulf Coast.
You never tell about these things. Of course, our weather is getting, as I said earlier, a little off the historical beaten path. Let's put it that way. We've had some cold winters of late. And if you look at the historical climatology going back years, because it always warms up a lot before an ice age.
This would be geology talk.
All that snow has to come from somewhere to make mile-high continental glaciers. And these huge swings down into the southeast United States of cold fronts and whatnot, and you see it warming up on the West Coast, it follows the glacial patterns. And so we're sort of seeing a little bit of that as the jet stream changes. As the planet warms, and at the point in time where the Gulf Stream gets cut off, things will change drastically.
Well, if as we expect the desalination of the oceans from freshwater melting of glaciers. The change,
especially.
Yeah, and the change in the Gulf Stream, it can get because it's the Gulf Stream that makes Western Europe more or less inhabitable.
Yeah, especially England.
Yeah.
Same difference for Europe. I mean, we share a commonality on ice age weather and extent and stuff, continental glaciers. But
how do you look in a bearskin dress, Terry?
I don't know. I haven't tried one on lately. If you look at the temperature anomalies, especially in the North Atlantic, you already see some of it. There's like a blue dot up there just southeast of Greenland that things are already occurring from the freshwater melt from the glaciers of Greenland.
One of the places where it's become apparent is in the lobster beds.
Yeah.
Because the lobster beds are moving north.
Imagine that.
Because it's getting too warm for lobster in places where lobsters were once plentiful.
Well, the planting things of, what is it, USDA, not DA, but the other one.
USDA?
Is it the DA? That's the drug. Agricultural.
Yeah, United States Department of Agriculture. Yeah, USDA.
Yes. Okay, I was right. Okay, USDA. I mean, have changed those and moved them northward because, frosts are occurring. Last frost is occurring earlier than it used to. And so you can plant stuff further north than you could 20, 30 years ago, It's already happening. These people are like, it's not, it's fake, and we need, we need to protect jobs. We don't need to go green.
Jobs.
Oil and gas and so on and so forth. It's like, short-sighted as shit is what you are.
Oh, this I forget. I forget. I forget who the bobble-headed booby was, who was complaining yesterday, day before, whatever, on some social media site about how. Joe Biden is making us less energy independent. It was probably Rick Skeletor Scott.
Oh, I got an argument with a cousin today about how Biden has banned all new drilling on federal lands. It's like he's leased more land than Trump did, actually. So
that's kind of like when they start on Obama tried to take our guns. What, by making it legal to carry them in national parks? Because that's all he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that I live near a national park, it's so funny. You can be busted back to the Stone Age for backpacking in a cold 16-ounce can of Pabst Blue Ribbon, but you can also strap on a .357 mag hog leg and go for a lively stroll. Freedom!
Freedom! God. Oh, yeah. It's like the bill here in Alabama and other states. You know, GOP legislature, by God, they're going to protect the gun right to have one to the point that you don't have to have a background check and you don't have to have all these other things done to own a gun. No permit, no training, no fucking anything.
Peter never had to have no background check to have that sword what he lopped off the centurion's ear with.
That's it. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really, just really... Oh, God, you know.
It's bad enough for me here getting up and reading the news out of the wild-eyed Republican legislature in Charleston. But y'all got us beat a mile for just plain right-wing crazy.
Yeah. That's scary. Okay.
Well, it is. But I tell you what, I hope things continue going well for you as spring comes on. I mean, I can feel spring in my bones, Terry. This is the 23rd.
I felt it on my skin today, so that was nice.
Yeah, quit. Stop. You're just bragging now. But there's what, 25 days left of winter. It'll probably be 90 degrees there for you by the time the first day of spring comes around.
The historical last frost in Mobile is March 6th.
Jeez. You were talking about the moving those frost lines north. It's still around here a thing that you do not plant your garden until after Mother's Day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're like what, 3,500 feet elevation or something?
No, we're like 2,000.
Oh, general 2,000.
Yeah, but it's the further north part, I think, that also plays a role.
Well, I mean, it's further north and elevation. Yeah. Makes a difference, honey. So, you know. I know.
That's
why there's snow in Kilimanjaro, so, you know, that.
Huh? Well, or there used to be, I mean. Yeah.
There is snow on Mount Kilauea
in
Hawaii. You know, you can pretty much have whatever climate you want, depending on what elevation on the slope of the volcanoes you live. So you just sort of.
Yeah, but it's that whole living on the slope of a volcano part that gives me pause.
Well, you know, if you're living on Hawaii, you're somewhere on the slope of a volcano, so there's, you know, that.
Yeah, well, got no volcanoes here, so we got that going for us.
I think you're okay up there. Yeah.
Okay. But things have changed since we blew up so damn many mountains that the tornadoes can kind of skip around from flat spot to flat spot.
Oh, well, that's convenient, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice. That kind of sucks.
And anyway, well, I got to wrap things up, but I'm so glad you could jump in and join me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you so asking me, and thank you very much. It was a joy to spend some time with you and your audience.
Well, you are welcome anytime, and you know that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You have a lovely evening.
You too. Thanks.
You know, I'd say stay warm, but I don't think I have to. I don't have to think give you that admonition.
No, I'm good, actually. Yeah, thanks.
You're right. You'll be in the air conditioning soon.
Well, actually, I have my air conditioning on right now as we speak.
Okay, I'm hanging up now. Goodbye.
Yeah, okay.
Bye. That's my pal, Terry Allen, my big sis. It's not often we get we have correspondence from the complaint department, but David would like to register a complaint. Your show is getting tedious. I can't abide the overlong descriptions you give time after time. Examples, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. Bible-believing, yada, 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 and many more. These are way past their rot date. Isn't it time to change things up a bit? At the close of your show, you thank us for spending our precious time. Think about it. Well, David, let me explain something to you. That's all quite deliberate. Ever read the Iliad? Ever read the Odyssey? Repetition fixes ideas. These people are deserving. You know, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. The point is for people to think about that so that they will, because those are all points of reference. All factual points of reference. Like when we would talk about Melanoma Trump, the only presidential spouse ever to remove their clothing in exchange for money for the sexual gratification of perfect strangers. That's not actionable. Those are all
just facts, David. I also must call you out on your misogyny towards men. Now, this thing came in about an hour and 15 minutes ago, and I've been scratching my head over misogyny towards men ever since. How in the name of God can you have misogyny towards men? The definition of misogyny is the hatred of women. Were you looking for misandry? That's the hatred of men, which I don't. But apparently David was put off when you assumed any male with a neck beard and or no partner should automatically be suspected of incel. That's from the story yesterday about the guy in upstate New York who was driving by a woman who was a perfect stranger to him, apparently. At least that's what the Sherlock Holmes department says. And, oh, I don't know why he blew her the hell away. They didn't know each other nor nothing. Wrong accent, I know. But, honey, read a little bit about incels. Dude kind of has it written all over him. And, yes, he is a neckbeard. And when somebody just goes and blows away a young woman whom he doesn't know for no apparent reason, even if it's an evil reason, incel is the first thing that comes to mind, because incels are a problem in this country. But, you know, if you want to take, if you want to stand up for the incels, you do you. And then I guess after your transition, you've become almost as much of a male hater as Nicole Sandler. No, I don't know that Nicole, first of all, is a guy hater. But the problem is, so many of the problems in our country are caused by white men. Who came up with slavery? White men. I mean, that wasn't some English lady sitting in her drawing room having her tea. Who engaged in an insurrection against the constitutional government of the United States? White men. Who got us into Vietnam? White men. Who killed more than 1 million of the innocent people of Iraq? White men. Who gave the orders to hellfire missile from drones operated by dudes in trailers in Vegas? Who gave those? White men, mostly. Who does the vast majority of the school shootings and the theater shootings and the shopping center shootings? White men. That's not male hating, David. Those are just facts. And I've known Nicole for a long time, and I've never known her to utter a single misandric word. But sometimes facts are a problem. Oh, well. That's the program. I'll run a couple of minutes over. But thanks so much for joining in. Yeah, maybe David's right, because we posted another goose egg this evening. That's two in a row. I don't know. Tomorrow, 1160. 1160 tomorrow, Brother Deacon. And maybe we'll survive the... Or we'll finish the month to the good, but, you know, hell, maybe not. But thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, who I trust don't think I'm misandric, and don't think that I just hate the neckbeards. Thank you, because you keep independent progressive broadcasting going. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Didn't have any this evening, but thank you just the same. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Reminder, I will be covering for Malloy tomorrow and Friday. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are, too. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. be a great time to reach out and ask your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Thank you, Ralph. Ralph says she will extend her challenge until it's met. Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, please stay safe. Do whatever you can to do so. Get your booster, your vaccines. Wear your KN95 mask. Just because people who think the Rona is gone are taking theirs off doesn't mean that the virus isn't out there buying more lottery tickets, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Oh, no. It's buying for all it's worth and out there mutating away. If you keep your social distance and if you wear your mask and you take all your precautions and you use your hand sanitizer and you wash your hands frequently, you reduce the chance of becoming like, if some guy says, if some zombie walks towards you saying, "Hey, Joe Biden, you can kiss my ass." Well, avoid that guy like the plague, because he was. Later.